All right, I think I'm just gonna hop in whenever a little detail hits me in Busan that I wanna yammer about, but I did have that feeling today, the way that in Japan, I pretty effortlessly just made podcasts like every freaking day. I kind of feel like that here. That's the feeling I got so far. This is, again, only my second full day in Busan, but it's just like, yeah, I bet I could. Like, I was kind of pushing myself in Japan to do adventures, pushing myself a little hard, because it's like, ah, here I am, you know? It'll be a little while before I get to come back. So I kind of had that feeling here of like, ah, that fucking lake on the mountain that I saw on the map, it's really not that far. I could go fucking push. I could go push myself to go do that. But I just, you know, I don't want to push. I want to take South Korea, as I have been doing, just much more casually. If I do spend some days just at coffee shops not doing anything, that's fine, man. That's fine. I don't need to go gorge on it like I did Japan. But it is nice that it just, I just have that feeling. For whatever reason, in Busan, it just feels way more... The, like, excitement of travel that was definitely a little tamped down in the other cities, which, just based purely on population, Jecheon was, I think, 50,000 or something. So, you know, real small. But I looked up Busan versus Seoul, because Busan feels way smaller than Seoul. And it is. It's over 3 million people. It's still big, but it's all relative because Seoul is over 10 million people. So Busan's the second biggest, and it is Busan, saying it like French. La cité de Busan. It's like less than a third of the population. And yeah, that feels good. It's got all the big city stuff, but to a way smaller degree. Anyway, the reason I pulled out my recorder right now is the mountain I was on last episode, which was just yesterday for me, it's Mount Hwaji, it's called, H-W-A-J-I. And I just crossed over a bridge from that mountain to the Citizens Park. I finally made it there. And I thought this was interesting because I saw all of the boar signs yesterday on the mountain, and I was pontificating about, like, are there really boars for real? But even looking at it now from across the street, it is a pretty big mountain to be just smack dab in the middle of a city. And this confirms that there are. I passed this bridge over the road called the Eco Bridge, and this is just what I thought was interesting. There's a sign here. The Eco Bridge, which is an overpass constructed to serve as a wildlife crossing linking Busan Citizens Park and Mount Hwaji, allows wildlife to pass freely and safely above the roadway at night and park visitors during the day. And then there's some stuff about some more eco stuff that they did, making sure to maintain native vegetation, etc., etc. But yeah, I just thought that was really interesting that this overpass, you know, I just assumed it was for people, you know, that's what I did, walk across the overpass. But that idea that at night, animals can use this to not have to deal with the traffic. That's pretty fucking fascinating. And now looking at this bridge, it is kind of like wooden slats in the middle, but on either side is just grass, which presumably animals would prefer to walk on. And I just thought that was fucking neat. What a neat thing. All right, it's the next day. I'm back on that little mountain that's really close to my Airbnb, but I'm passing through. I'm trying to get to this mythic lake that's on the map. Doesn't seem all that far. But I am, I definitely caught a little something a couple of days ago. Felt that little tickle in my throat, that pretty unmistakable, oh, that feels like a cold feeling. And then there's been a couple of times where a little cough has started to take hold, and I've still got my halls, my black halls from Japan. Pop one of those bad boys in my mouth. I don't know what cough drops they have here in Korea. I have not looked yet. It was definitely weird in Japan trying to figure out what was a cough drop and just buying some sort of tea medicated lozenges and some cough drop gum, which I believe was a latte product now that I think about it. But even though I'm definitely very minorly sick, basically I'm still holding to the idea that I essentially haven't gotten sick on this trip, because this one is so minor that it's there, it's hanging on. I feel it a little right now, but I kind of forget. I keep forgetting that I'm sick, and then it'll hit me again. I'm like, oh yeah, no, because that was a thing. It wasn't my imagination, but it's so minor. It's still crazy. Just, I feel so blessed. I feel so lucky that I haven't gotten full-on sick. I mean, I got food poisoned in Yokohama, but that was different. That was my own fault. Man, this is, I still can't believe how nice this is for being right by the city. I mean, there's traffic and cars like on every side of me, but I can hardly hear them. It's like, man, this is nice. But yeah, because I was feeling a little sick, I stayed up extra late last night. I stayed up till like 5 a.m. because I was like, yeah, whatever, who cares? I'm kind of sick. We'll just take tomorrow off. We'll just fucking chill. Never a good, there's never a good reason to stay up till 5 a.m. It's never the right call. But then despite staying up all night, oh, there's the shrine I was at the other day. I'm above it. I've circled up around it. But yeah, despite staying up all night and having this little nagging sickness that is dragging me down a little bit, still I'm filled again with that sense of like, I gotta go. I gotta go, man. I gotta go explore. The way Seoul I didn't initially want to explore because I couldn't find anything, and then I slowly started finding the ways to the mountains, and then I started getting into the groove. Jecheon, similar in a different way. I didn't especially want to explore because I was only exploring how to get to the Daiso and the Burger King, and like I couldn't figure out again how to get anywhere interesting for a while. Busan, again, is just, I'll just repeat, I guess, the same thing that I've said, but now that it's been a few days, half a week, whatever, it seems like my initial impressions were just right. It's just pretty. It's pretty freaking clean. Way more so than Seoul. And it's so easy. This is much easier to get to nature stuff than anywhere else I've been in South Korea. And I haven't, like, big time explored. I haven't gotten back on the subway even. I haven't gone to the seaside. There's all kinds of shit that I have not even attempted. I'm just staying in my neighborhood for now. It's like, let's just take it slow, take it easy. Let's just learn the lay of the land around here. Because like today, for whatever reason, my phone, the little blue dot, is not working. I rebooted the phone, toggle my location on and off. No blue dot for me today. I don't know why. But it's not bad. It's like, okay, but I know how to get to this park. And I know if I get to one particular corner of it, that'll take me fairly near the lake. You know, I just want to get to know this place. I want to be able to walk around without my stupid blue dot. Just to start things off. Because I'll be here for a minimum of 5 weeks, and it's looking like longer. Because, like, I guess I just got to figure out, am I staying in Busan right up to the bitter end of my visa here? Which right now it's early April, and that doesn't expire till the end of July. It's a while. Or do I want to go back to Seoul? If I did, it would just be to hike Bukhansan and maybe a couple other of the mountains, see what they're like in the summertime. Or if it helps with flights. Maybe I should. Anyway, whatever. I'll just give my mind a little time to settle. And the answer will come. The answer will form in my mind. Man, and this place is littered with cherry blossom leaves, especially on the way here. I took a little detour through a little neighborhood I never went through before. There was a market set up, some kind of little weekend market, stalls and stuff, selling things. And cherry blossom trees everywhere, all blooming. And cherry blossoms swirling through the air. So it's undeniable. At first I was like, is this, you know, because I'm just so dumb, I don't know what I'm looking at. I'm like, this is it, right? These are cherry blossoms. It's undeniable now. They're a mix, these ones on the ground, of white and pink. And like, this is it. This is the full cherry blossom experience. And I still just can't help but be like, I don't know, it must say something about me. I don't know what. There's probably some term for this personality type or whatever, but it reminds me a lot of how I felt about the waterfalls in Japan. That it's less about the thing itself, because waterfalls are undeniably nice. Blooming cherry blossoms swirling with their blossoms drifting through the air. It's undeniably nice. So this isn't about the phenomenon itself. It really is. My attitude comes from other people's attitude. It's just like that something like a waterfall is such a focus. Gotta go to the waterfall, gotta see the waterfall. When the whole journey to the waterfall is probably as good, if not better, than the waterfall. And the cherry blossoms, it's just, I guess, that, again, because I've just been saturated, not only in Japanese media, I mean, obviously they're way into cherry blossom stuff, but because I've been surrounded by other North American nerds who are also saturated in Japanese media, I've just heard so much about the cherry blossoms to the point of, like, I want to plan my trip to see the cherry blossoms. Like, what's the point of going if I don't get to see the cherry blossoms? I got to go see the cherry blossoms. That's what I got a problem with, is that I just still can't shake that feeling that the cherry blossoms only make everything like 5% nicer. It's just not that big a deal, where I feel like people talk about it like it makes things 80% nicer. Like it's so incredibly better to have the cherry blossoms blooming. And I'm just belaboring the same thing I already said, but I guess, yeah, we'll just put a cap on it there. I'll never mention it again, but that is definitely how I feel now that I've had some days to soak in the cherry blossoms and that they just keep getting better and better. But yeah, they're just not that important. It reminds me, is a weird comparison, but somehow I never saw Star Wars when I was a kid. But being a big nerd with a bunch of nerd friends and then working at a comic store for years, man, people talk about Star Wars, especially before it got run into the ground. But people talked about Star Wars like it was the fucking Bible. So if I'd seen it as a kid, I'm sure I'd have some love for it. Or if it was a semi-obscure movie, I would have been like, wow, actually, that's pretty good. They made that in the 70s? Holy shit. But when you've been hearing about it for decades, and then you watch it as an adult, it's fucking trash. It's garbage. It's like, this sucks. And again, it's like, who cares? Whatever. It's not the movie I'm mad at. It's the fucking people that wouldn't shut up about it. So I don't know. I guess that's my advice. Be it waterfalls, Star Wars, cherry blossoms, or anything else. If you've got like one thing that you're so into that it eclipses all else and you can't shut up about it, shut up about it. You're annoying and no one wants to hear it. Because in my estimation, nothing is all that great. Which conversely means everything is kind of great. You know? I don't know, just flatten out the world. Flatten out your perception. Like right now, I've just moved into a part where there are no cherry blossoms. It's just normal trees. They're nice and green. And they're awesome. They're just as good. Sleep-deprived and slightly sick man complains about fucking cherry blossoms and Star Wars, news at 11. But the other thing I wanted to mention is it seems like it's pretty common in South Korea for these places to have really well-stocked kitchens. Like, I was really impressed in Seoul how much stuff was available in the little communal kitchen at the little soft house I was at. Especially, I guess, because I didn't realize at first. And after a week or so, I started to figure out, like, oh, wait a second. There's, like, noodles and instant coffee and cereal. And if you really want to get fancy, there's rice, and you could actually like make real stuff. And it's like, wow, cool. But it's very nice and just so convenient too. If you do, I mean, I could also just go outside and go across the street and buy something from a convenience store. You know, things are crazy convenient no matter what. Even in Jecheon, there was a 24-hour convenience store like a block and a half away. But to not even have to go outside if you get caught in the middle of the night and you just need to put something in your belly. Very nice. And then in Jecheon also, that place was much more like rustic, but even that kitchen had some stuff. This one here, I guess, following on from it being instead of the sub-$15 accommodations, this is the $30 a day accommodations that I got at $15 a day because I booked ludicrous amounts of time. This kitchen is insane. It has noodles, but like five different varieties. It's got rice, it's got cereal in these like gumball machine looking things where you twist it and the cereal comes out. I just passed a lady doing the famous barefoot walk that I saw in Jecheon, but she was carrying her shoes. She's doing temporary barefoot walk. The people in Jecheon, they just left the house that way. They were hardcore. Oh, there's the, I recognize that boar sign. I'm approaching it from a different side this time, but all right, so if I go up this hill, that's where I went the first time I was here. So now I'm gonna take this path to the left and see what happens. Man, I hope my little blue GPS dot turns on. It's gonna be a little tricky to figure out where I'm going without it, but I mean, I still got a map. It'll all work out, I'll figure it out. The weather's insane too, so nice. Now that I'm a little further south, and so far, the air quality index, it's just edged over, it's like 50 is the point. Below 50 is the green, everything's good. And I got a day or two of that. This is edged up a little above that, but it doesn't seem as bad. It does seem better. I still got a mask. I still put it on when I'm doing very strenuous uphill hiking and stuff. But yeah, it does seem like those crazy days, like in Seoul, appear to be a lot more rare. But yeah, the kitchen. So yeah, they have also like many different varieties of instant coffee. But then also the pods you put in this fucking cool-ass machine. Oh, that's a pretty nice view that you can't see, but take my word for it. Oh, geez, my phone. How did I never notice this before? I guess it's because I don't usually have this phone connected to Wi-Fi, but I did this morning, so it has the temperature. 16 degrees Celsius. That is downright fucking hot. But yeah, this pod machine, I mean, I know the pod machines, I think they're kind of falling out of favor because they just fill landfills full of garbage. They're a terrible, terrible idea. So wasteful. But in this one, you put the pod in and then you choose how much water you want to run through it with a little meter on the front. And I was like, where's the buttons? Where's the up and down? How do you change the meter? And then I tried just swiping on the actual machine. And yeah, you just use your finger and swipe it up. And it's like fucking Star Trek. You know, the little thing goes up and I'm like, yeah, right on. But yeah, beyond all this stuff, this place also has eggs. And like a lot of them, a lot of eggs available. I was like, wow, this place is set up. This is nuts. This is way, way more than I ever expected. But I made this morning. This came back to me. I forgot about this. This is like a ludicrous fucking thing. But I used to do this, and I will start again. And it's not as crazy as it sounds, I don't think. First off, let me talk about cereal without milk. Because the one thing this kitchen doesn't seem to have is milk. The place in Seoul did, but it was just like 2 1-liter containers each day. Sometimes there'd be some milk around. Usually not. So that could be the case here too. Maybe it just goes fast. But I only ever wanted it for my instant coffee, so instead I just started using other cans of coffee that were sweet as sweetener for my instant coffee, whatever, anyway. But I'm a big fan of, I became a fan while traveling, of cereal without milk. Because milk, I mean, it phlegms you up. I think it's not that great for you. I don't know. I don't really miss having milk in my life. And now bear with me, because this is going to sound bad. Cereal with water. I know that's one of the devil's fucking things, and it's like, who does that? And I agree. I think it's weird to just pour water on cereal. However, there's ways you can make that work. I mean, you can make that work. It's not bad. It's fine. But it is like kind of a weird and semi-gross thing to do. You don't want to just pour water on cornflakes and fucking eat that, really. You know, if you have any other options, that's pretty desperate. There's other things you could be eating in your life. But because of traveling and not wanting to have a bunch of ingredients with me, and usually not having access to a fridge, I found that what works with water is mini wheats. Again, you don't put the mini wheats in a bowl and then pour water on them. I'm not a fucking psychopath. I just would have a bottle of water. I always have water with me. And I would just have the box of mini wheats. And if you just toss two or three mini wheats in your mouth and take a swig of water, it just gives you the moisture to be able to chew those things up. And, you know, they're covered on one side in frosting. They're very sweet. Which milk is one of those deceptively sweet things also. You're just kind of putting sweet on sweet. They're sweet enough, sunshine, you know. And there is just something weirdly unpleasant about a bowl full of watery cereal and your spoon with your watery cereal. But if it's just in your mouth already, you just put them in your mouth and you take a swig of water, you don't notice that it's water. And it doesn't taste like it's water, it just tastes like mini wheats, because they're just sugar anyway, basically. With some nice wheat stuff, you know. They're at least semi-healthy with the sugar. But that was the perfect thing, because you could just put it on your shelf. You don't need to worry about refrigerating milk. And you can just eat your mini wheats over the course of 2 or 3 days. Wash them down with water is great. But then I came up with this thing of super cereal, which again, it's very important what kind of cereal you're using for this. But it's coffee on cereal. And again, don't just pour coffee on cornflakes. Don't just pour coffee on Rice Krispies. Again, that makes you a psychopath. It really works with chocolate cereal. You know, Cocoa Puffs type cereal. Or Reese Puffs, you know, they're close enough. And really, like, it's not so crazy. Because if there's anything that goes well with coffee, it's chocolate and sugar. And that's what those cereals are. And that's what they have here. They have this one cereal, they've got Frosted Flakes, and this one that looks like Chex, but chocolate Chex. So yeah, I just filled my bowl with chocolate Chex, made a fancy espresso coffee with the fancy machine, put that shit right on there. Slightly weird because, you know, it was warm, but if I wanted to take extra time, I could make the coffee, put some ice cubes in it, let it cool down, then put it on the cereal. I don't know that I give that much of a fuck, but that'd be easy enough to do. But yeah, coffee cereal, man, it really gets you going, man. That's how you start the day with a bang. Because you're getting all the sugar energy of your garbage fucking chocolatey cereal, plus the caffeine of coffee. And it tastes really good. I mean, this is a seriously degenerate breakfast. But I forgot all about it. It's like, oh, I have everything I need right here to do this. It's perfect, because I don't know how else I'm going to eat this cereal, since there doesn't seem to be any milk. I was like, should I go buy milk or something? But wait, there's coffee. And again, how am I going to drink this coffee? It's just black coffee when it comes out of the pod. I don't like black coffee. So I got cereal that I can't easily eat. I got coffee that I can't easily drink. Put them together. The cereal complements the coffee with its chocolate and sugar. The coffee complements the cereal by making it liquidy and cerealized so you can actually eat it. And it's fucking wonderful. That is my new fucking go-to. That's what I'm doing every morning. But anyway, there's a delightful travel tip. You can, in fact, eat cereal with water if you got the right kind of cereal. My recommendation is Frosted Mini Wheats. And if you want a super breakfast, coffee on your chocolatey, sugary cereal. Hoo mama, fuck, it's good. Oh, this is so nice. Holy shit, this is nice. Just walking along the ridge of this park, looking down at a bunch of buildings. I'm right by the city, but this part here is very quiet. This would be a sweet place to live. It's really quiet, but it's right by the park. In the distance, there's more mountains that, like, the very close distance, they're really close. From here, I can't see any people on them, but I mean, I have to imagine there's a hiking trail along the ridge of that mountain. It's right next to Busan. It's like right there. And yeah, today, like I said, is just a little bit above 50, just a little bit into the moderate AQI zone. This is probably the level that it was at, probably many days in Fukuoka, and I just never realized. So it just seems fine. The sky's clear. Everything's nice and pretty. I mean, in the world of coffee pods, maybe a certain amount of air pollution is just the price that we have to pay till some future generations hopefully clean this shit up. But yeah, it was only just that in Seoul, it was so insane. I guess I'm a little curious about that too. If I did go back to Seoul more in the summer, maybe it would be more like this. Maybe those really bad days where I literally felt like I was playing fucking Fallout, like I was in the road. Maybe that's what they mean about the winter. You know, maybe that's just a winter thing. But those days were truly awful. Fuck, this is good. This is so nice. Not a cherry blossom in sight. Still, it's still 10 out of 10. Maybe that's, I said I wasn't going to talk about it anymore, didn't I? Maybe that's the thing with cherry blossoms and waterfalls. It's like if everything is already an A+, if everything's already a 10 out of 10, and then you add an extra nice thing to it, it can't get better. You can't go beyond 10. You can't go beyond A+. I don't know. I wonder sometimes, let's get real philosophical while I'm on the fucking mountain. Do what you want to do on the mountain. I kind of can't tell if I have a good attitude or a bad attitude. Like, I can't tell if I'm happy or sad. I can't tell where I fit in the spectrum necessarily. Like, I feel like I'm a pretty easy to please person. I feel like I'm generally pretty content. But on the other hand, I feel like I am also way more critical than a lot of people are. You know, like if I wanted to lean on that, I could write a whole fucking essay about every moment in my stupid life, about all the things in that moment that I didn't like and that I wish were different and that I wish I could change. So it's like I feel like I'm doing an okay job of just kind of enjoying the life that I got while I'm here. But at the same time, I do feel like I'm, you know, I've had to learn how to do that. I'm making myself do that. It doesn't feel like my natural inclination. But I guess I'm old enough now to just realize, like, who cares though? What's the point? You're not going to change everything. You're not going to change anything. In fact, you're going to be dead tomorrow. You know? It all goes by so fucking fast. Just enjoy it while you're here and fucking relax. So I just feel like I'm bobbing in the middle. But it seems good enough. Just let your happiness be happiness, right? Don't overthink it. Don't poke the bear too much. All right, I think I'm approaching the correct corner of this park. But if I am, see, like, I don't know. It's so hard to tell with maps. The map that I saw with the big lake on it, I mean, it did seem to be a pretty big lake, though the lake itself didn't seem that far away. But if it's over where I think it is, I'm sure I've gotten turned around. I don't know what I'm really looking at, but I hope it's not over there, because that mountain I'm looking at is really, really, really big. Like double the one I'm on now, for sure. Blue dot, why have you abandoned me? Oh my God, there it is. I literally pulled out my other phone, the one that never works. And I'm like, I don't know, let me try that one, I guess. The terrible phone that barely has location services at all. And then the dot popped into view. Oh man. I was actually right. I am actually looking in the right direction, but there's the mountain that I'm on right now. There's the lake with a bunch of greenery around it so as to suggest a park. And in between is just a black, evil maw of nothingness on the map. Hopefully that's the mountain. And this lake, hopefully it's in more of a crater somehow that's not as hard to get to. But from here, yeah, if I just wind my way down to the road and just walk along, it seems so close. Cheopdong is what it's called. Cheoup-Dong. Oh yeah, Busan's Children's Grand Park. Oh, and a kid's water park? Children's creativity and learning? Okay. Now that I've zoomed in a little further on the map. All right, yeah, clearly this is not going to be a problem. I doubt that they need to ferry children to the kids' park up a terrifying peak. But it's fucking crazy that it's literally right next to a terrifying peak. But yeah, that's the thing I love about, like, being in a place for a long time and being able to take time. Like, even if I somehow failed to get there today, it's like, I'll get a little closer, though. Learn the route a little more. And then today when I go there, now I've suddenly completely changed what I expect. If it is, like, just a children's park, I presume I won't be spending much time there. But from there, I can scope out, like, are there hiking trails from there? Will that lead me on to the next crazy thing? Yeah, I seem to be on the right path. So, that's enough rambling for now. Let me turn this thing off and figure out how to get to the exciting, crazy children's park. So that lake, it turns out, is in a valley between the mountains after all. So on my way there, I saw a little path going up into the woods, and I'm like, all right, let me take that little path. And maybe it'll just path my ass right over there. And there was an old feller who came in right behind me, and then I passed a bunch of old people. Old dudes, old ladies. I mean, say old, you know, older than me. I don't know, probably not extremely older than me, though. I'm not young no more. But yeah, it could also just be it's a Friday afternoon. This is the same thing I noticed in Seoul, is it seems like only the old people enjoy the hiking. But maybe it's just that the young people are actually at work, you know. A situation which I miraculously managed to avoid. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Papa, looking down on me, disappointed. But my greatest fear came true. I did, in fact, skirt around the lake and just go up this big, enormous, insane mountain instead, because that's just where the path went. And, you know, I'll go down at some point and check out that there lake, but it does seem like I noticed that it being a kids' park and all, it's probably not, probably a one-time go-check-out-the-lake type of dealie. This is what I'm meant to do. And yeah, midway up, I was looking over and it's like, oh, there's the stadiums that I saw from the other mountain a couple days ago on the rainy day. The stadiums and the helipad and stuff. Now I'm on the other side. I'm on the opposite side. and I'm twice as high up. There's the mountain. There's that first mountain that I found with the shrine and stuff. I'm looking at the totality of it, and yeah, it's a pretty small little mountain by these standards. And then I just kept going up and going up and going up, and I'm not quite at the top yet, but I gotta be close. I think I see a little structure up there. I thought I should start recording before I get to the top, though, because presumably I've seen a fair number of people today hiking around because it's such good weather. It's so beautiful. If they're going to be loitering around anywhere, it's probably up there. Then I will feel embarrassed to talk. Oh, there's a shrine I can see in the distance. There seem to be a lot more shrines here than in Seoul. But yeah, I'm on this mountain that is fucking pretty goddamn big, but then across from here in the distance, like a real big mountain, and then quite a ways in the distance, getting a little hazy out there, that's a true motherfucker, because it's quite a bit further back, yet it's the same height. There's like this really big mountain, you know, probably a couple hours walk from here, an hour and a half walk from here. And then this other one, like who can even say at that distance? Probably take me 4 hours to walk there, and it's the same height. Maybe 3 hours, I don't know. And actually over on the other side of the little Children's Park Lake, that mountain's really fucking big too. Wow, this shit is wild. I shouldn't think about it. I wasn't feeling freaked out. And now I just felt the little tingle in my knees of like, you're really high up, my dude. This crow makes it feel like I'm on the boss run. I'm heading toward a Dark Souls boss up here. But yeah, man, just the awesomeness of Busan continues unabated. This is fucking pretty wonderful. And all I can see around me is just the city intertwined with mountains. The amount of mountains to go hike around on is just, they're fucking everywhere. They're all over the place. And it's not even a case like in Seoul where, I mean, you don't have to take the subway, but it helps. You know, even the, see if I can remember the names. I knew all the mountain names when I was there. The mountain with the wall on it. Damn, I forget. But like, you could walk to that one from Hongik University, but it's better to take the train, you know, it's a little too far. And Bukhansan, again, you can walk there, but it would take like a solid couple hours. Here, who knows when I'll actually need to take the subway, you know, until I want to go check out the coast. There doesn't seem to be any need. Everywhere I walk around here is just parks and hiking and mountains and awesome shit. So fucking good, dude. Busan, man. You know, it's like jinxing myself. I was saying right before I came here that I did in fact have some hopes for this city, that this was going to be the one that I would really enjoy in South Korea. But I don't know, just the other cities and just the, you know, same old, just the grime and the pollution and stuff. And just keeping my eye on the air quality index, just I had this bad feeling that Busan wasn't going to be any different. But it's really different. It is really fucking different. It's crazy. It's so good. This place is fucking great. I don't know what this is. Some weird little building up here. But there's a little guidepost. Yeah, I guess I'll probably end up going down the other side. To where? Who the fuck knows? My slight sickness I'm definitely feeling. Like, fuck, I wish I had a coffee. Oh, there's just little seats in here. Just a weird little room with a newspaper in it and a couple of chairs. And some rakes for those who like to rake. And then some little cups and some water. Yeah, it's everything you need in there. Little shelter. Oh, it's actually locked up. You can't go in. Oh well, still cool. Cool, though, apparently inaccessible. But yeah, just, I do. My head's a little swimmy. I am a little energy sapped. I do just wish I could slam a nice coffee right now. I think I just need to add that to my arsenal. I just need to buy a can of coffee from one of the machines and tuck it away in my jacket pocket. In an emergency such as the end of the world. Wow, this place Here's the marker of the top. It's only 399 meters, only 400. It feels a lot bigger than that. I wonder if it could be that, because I don't really know how these markings are marked. Like, is it from sea level? I guess that's the only proper way to do it, right? I don't know. I don't know what is considered the base of a mountain. I never looked into it before. So it could be that those other mountains in Seoul and Japan or wherever, you know, they have bigger numbers, because I've definitely been, you know, 500, 600, 700. I don't know if I ever hit 800, and it did not feel this high. But Busan is, of course, right by the ocean. The city itself is basically sea level. So maybe this 400 meters just feels bigger. Because, yeah, I mean, there was a... I was on a mountain in Jecheon that was 400, right by the golf course, and it did not feel nearly this high. 1 kilometer back to the children's center, 1.45 kilometers forward to the Meeting Forest. So I guess that's the plan, back down the other side. I can see city out there somewhere. Ramble my way down there, and then hopefully find a convenience store. I need some coffee! And then on this side, further on, more big mountains, and then there's some water. There's my first view of the water. And then behind the water is more mountains. This is fucking great. Holy fuck, dude. This city is fucking awesome. Shit, man. Like, just purely geographically. Not, you know, because culturally I do vibe more with Japan just because of the pop culture, just because of all... That's one thing that's kind of missing here. I just listened to a podcast some video game guy did about his first time going to Japan. And it was exciting just to hear. You know, like, I don't buy anything because I don't like to carry extra stuff. All I've got is my little, my two little Yuru Camp gacha things that I got in Fukuoka. And my little Super Cub keychain that I got in Ikebukuro, and that's it. So I was listening to this guy talk about all the stores he went to and all the shit that he bought. I bought a Japanese version of Spider-Man 2 for the PS4, and it's like, what a dumb thing to, what the fuck would you buy that for? But he was talking about all the different stores and the different types of pop culture stores, and that he found like a store in Akihabara that's entirely based on the PC-88, which was like an old Japanese computer that mostly had, what are those called, like visual novels, generally of the porn variety back then. They pretty much all had sex scenes. And anyway, a whole store dedicated to that called Beep. I'd never even heard of that. But that is something that is very lacking here in Korea, is like, I would just go into these stores in Japan and they were very fun just to go look at all the manga and just look at all the stuff and look at all the old action figures and look at all the old toys and see how much stuff I recognized and see all this new stuff I didn't. There's just nothing like that here. Not a goddamn thing. Which I guess makes sense, because I don't know what Korean pop culture even is. I saw a store that had a big poster of Anna Green Gables, but even that was the Studio Ghibli Anna Green Gables from Japan. Anyway, yeah, it's safe to say, culturally, I fit in with Japan way more because of being raised with Japanese stuff. But purely geographically, just purely as a place, if I am just my enjoying the mountains, you know, Ome Station type of shit, or just Fukuoka type shit, this is definitely on par. Busan is very much like that. City stuff, subways, convenience stores, all the nice modern stuff, all the big city stuff, and super easy access to hiking and mountains and nature, and I haven't even gotten to the water yet. I haven't even seen the ocean. This really feels like, I mean, this is, you know, this does just kind of keep happening. Apologies to South Korea that I'm just always comparing South Korea to Japan, but it is just the fact of the matter that I'm only here because I got kicked out of Japan, and I did hope, like, perhaps South Korea will be a nice addendum I can add on. Whenever I go to Japan, I can go over to South Korea and just get another bite at the apple. And it just wasn't that way in Seoul. Where this very much feels that way. This really does feel like, it's like another potentially offensive comparison. But this is like sweet, sweet methadone. It's like, oh, you took away my fix. You took away my Japan. But this feels pretty close. This'll get me over the hump. This place is real good, is what I'm trying to say. Try not to take offense to my offensive nonsense. I like Busan a lot. This is real good. What the hell is that? So I'm just looking at a part of the city I've not seen before that weaves its way along the edge of a big mega mountain. And there's like a giant cage. But it's not like one of the golf things, one of those green ones that I've learned to recognize. The big green netting that I noticed in Japan, and they're all over Korea as well, that are like golfing cages. This is way bigger than that. There's like buildings, and then this cage is probably two and a half, almost three times taller than the buildings, than the apartment buildings. What the fuck is that? What's in there? That is weird as shit. But all right, assuming nothing else fucking fascinating happens today, let's call that an episode. I'm a little hungry as well. Why am I so unprepared? I usually bring, maybe not a coffee, but I usually do tuck away like a fucking Snickers bar or something, a granola bar. I got nothing today. All I got is, well, I mean, I got water, so that's better than nothing. I guess I didn't expect this became a bit more of a hike than I expected, but I definitely fucked up. I'm having a snack attack, my dudes, and I don't have any snacks. Oh no, what am I gonna do? Even though I'm surrounded by city and I'll be at a convenience store within an hour for sure. But anyway, yeah, Busan, fucking wonderful. Wonderful so far. What a great place. I think it's safe to say I love it. Oh man, this plateau. Tons of crows up here. And there's like a flat area of rock with some like craggy parts you could fall down and these kind of spindly trees that have not quite grown back their leaves yet, and this feels so fucking much like a boss arena from Dark Souls. So fucking much. There should definitely be a boss here. And there's one of those, like, I noticed some of these rock piles at certain entrances to Bukansan, and I've noticed a few here and there. Did you hear that? That sounded like a big weird, like, was that the sound of a, am I imagining things, or was that the sound of a wild boar? Maybe he's the boss. Like, this is the boss arena, and I gotta fight a boar boss. Maybe he'll be armored, like that one in the Duke's archive. You gotta hit him in the back. Yeah, so I was gonna say, the rock pile. I've seen a few of these rock piles here, and this seems like it could rise up and become a boss, but then I heard a boar type sound that may have been my imagination. Here's the sign. Let's see what this sign says. We'll end off with that. Deoksiok Rock of Seomsan Mountain. So Deoksiok Rock of Seomisan Mountain. Legend of Deoksiok Rock. The nation fell into chaos due to political party strife, and Japanese pirates were habitually engaged in plundering on the south coast during King Seonjo's reign of the Joseon Dynasty. One day, thunder struck with a shower from the summit of Seomsan Mountain, and the sound of a baby crying was heard from the cave under Deoksiok Rock. There's a cave under there? I am not going to the cave. Maybe that's where fucking wild fucking boars live. Then a white horse appeared from out of nowhere to protect the baby. With wings that grew from the baby's armpits, 3 years after his birth, he began to parade around the world. From his fifth year, he trained himself, mastering the art of martial arts. When Japanese invaders invaded Dong Nyosong Fortress, he headed for Dong Nyosong on his white horse, However, he fell from the horse on his way from Deosiok Rock to Jangsang Mountain and died. That's anticlimactic. A Zelkova tree grew on the spot where the boy general fell. It said that the sound of a baby crying was heard with the sound of a horse crying on rainy days. On Deosiok Rock, the footprints of the boy general and his horse remain to this day. Dude, that feels like a Dark Souls story. If you've never played Dark Souls or the Souls-like games, the From Software games, they have a wonderful storytelling method, because storytelling in video games, they really don't mix most of the time. They're just trying to cram storylines into a game experience, and it's awkward at best. Where Dark Souls figured out that it's kind of cool to obscure storylines. You don't have to have people directly telling you. Instead, you like read the item descriptions of ancient armor and weird tablets and stuff that you find, and then you try to piece together what's happening, or more likely, a guy on YouTube pieces together his best approximation of what's happening. And you never get the full picture, and you never quite entirely know what's going on, but it feels a lot cooler, and it's a lot more open to interpretation. And those games are revolutionary in many ways, and that's one of them. It's such a good way to tell a story in a video game, you know? It's, instead of taking storytelling tactics from other mediums, from movies and books, and trying to cram them into a video game, they found their own way that is appropriate to an interactive medium. Anyway, but that thing I just read feels very much like after you piece together a Dark Souls story. It's like, oh, okay, so I'm continuing to link the fire so that the furtive pygmy will this, that, is this weird shit. And you never quite understand it, but it's cooler that way. That's how that feels. I'm sure there's a way they could have told that story, though, that didn't just involve the fucking magical general who grew wings out of his armpits just falling off a horse and dying partway through for no fucking reason. That's a little weird. Anyway. Yeah, it's weird, too, that thing about a cave. I brought it up before, but the famous Zelda story, that was the inspiration for the first Zelda game, is that Shigeru Miyamoto, when he was a kid, there was a cave near his house, and he was scared to go in. And he did go in, finally, and he just found bat poop. But that fear, the excitement and fear of wondering what's in there, that was the feeling he wanted to capture with the old Zelda games. And that's exactly how I feel here. It's like, oh, if there is a cave, it would be interesting to go look for it. But then the little flashlight on my phone to go in, and probably there's nothing there. But if there is something there, it's nothing I want to find. It's not going to be a good scene. So let's just not. That ain't the level of adventurer that I am. Oh my God, this is ridiculous. All right, I have to add this into the episode. I was like, yeah, you know, I'll just bring this up next time. Next time I record a podcast, I'll start off by talking about this lake. Cheupdong, Cheupdong. But it's just so fucking awesome. It's so good, dude. I couldn't resist. So as I came down the other side of the mountain, signs started popping up, so I just followed the ones that led to the children's water park, is how they all were listed. And it was still a little tricky to get here. A lot of various options on these paths. And then I got down here, and there is a water park and a kid's playground and stuff. But they are definitely not the main event. They're just tiny little things that happen to be here. Instead, it's this great big awesome lake that's somewhat like the lake in Jecheon. Except the mountains are way closer here. They're like right next to it. And I walked around to the far side, and there's all kinds of different staircases up into the mountains, just all kinds of crap I could keep testing out and trying. And as I kept walking and walking, I came upon one of those little coffee machines that costs 50 cents to get a tiny coffee. But I noticed there was like a proper stand next to it, and I'm like, all right, you know what? I want the proper coffee. I'm dying today. I'm gonna brave it. And it was one of these cases where definitely no language at all. She had no English, the lady who worked there, and I, of course, can only say hungry and tired, which is just like, can't just say that out of nowhere for no reason. But I just ordered a latte, and she pointed at a little menu just to make sure. It's like $3.50 for this, and then I bought a bag of, I don't know what it was, like honey and apple flavored crisp things for a couple bucks. Fucking delightful. And then I sat down and ate the chips. The coffee was super hot, so I'm still drinking it now. But it was right before 5 o'clock, so I was her last customer. She closed up at 5, and then as she walked by, I didn't recognize her right away because she was wearing a different coat. So I saw this lady looking over at me, and then luckily I clued in just in time to give her a nod and a tip of the coffee cup. It would have seemed really weird if, you know, we just had our nice little nonverbal coffee exchange. And then when she went to smile goodbye to me, I just stared at her. It would have been weird. But I clued in. It's like, oh, that's her. That's that lady. But anyway, just past there, the main part of the lake, or the top part, there's like a dam. And then it drops way deep down into a gorge. And there's all kinds of walkways that I'm walking down to get down into the bottom of this thing. And it's like, as much as I berated Star Wars earlier, it's like a freaking Ewok village in here. It's fucking so cool. It's just tons of walkways by all this water. And there's like a little waterfall over here and just all kinds of shit. This is fucking beautiful. This is so insane. It's kind of neat how I did it though. It's neat that I went up the mountain and then came down into this valley. Coming in the other way, I guess you'd be kind of gradually going up this whole time, or instead I'm going down into it. But I'm sure that's nice too. Either way is good. And like I said, there's all kinds of different pathways. It could continue on the side I was at, or I could go up the other side, which is probably what I'll do next. Oh man, yeah, here's like this, like, not quite a waterfall, but like a pretty steep stream. There's a little walkway over there. This shit is fucking beautiful. This is fucking excellent. And I got a fucking coffee. I got a nice hot latte. Saving my poor, you know, again, very slightly sick. I'm like 10% sick. Not enough to keep me at home in bed, but just the right amount that a coffee is the best thing in the fucking world. It feels so good to drink this. Man, what the fuck, dude? Like, I already gave this city the "this place is great" seal of approval. And this is even better. This is even better. This is so fucking nice. God fucking damn it, this is nice. This is incredible. Shit. Oh, here's an entrance to some kind of water park entrance. Samjung, the park. That's the thing they do in Japan a lot too. The latte, the this, the that. They do that in Korea as well. The park. This isn't just a park, it's the park. Well, and here's a guy who paints portraits. Selling portraits. Wow, and it's not like caricatures. He like does for real paintings of people. Well, fuck my dick. This is way better than I expected. This is just fucking great. So I just thought I'd jump in and report that. Okay, see you next episode.